ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Canto 6, Chapter 2, Text 45, Ajamil delivered by the Vishnu Dudas. Evam sa vipavita sarva dharma dasya pati patito karya karmana nipatyamano Niraye hata vrataha sadyo vimukto bhagavan nama vrinan evam sa viplavita sarvadharma dasya pati patito garya karmana Vipatyamano niraye hattavrataha Sadyo vimukto bhagavan nama grinan Evam sa viplavita sarvadharma Dasya pati patito karya karmana Vipatyamano niraya attavrataha Sadyo vimukto bhagavanama grinan Evam sa viplavita sarvadharma Dasya pati patito garya karmana Nipatyamano niraye hattavrata Sadyo vimukto bhagavanama grinan Evam sa viplavita sarvadharma Dhapati dhapati togarya karmana Vatyamano niraye hatta bhrata Sajo vimukto bhagavan namagrinan Evam sa viplavita sarvadharma Tasya pati patito garya karmana Nipatyamano niraye hatta brata Sajo vimukta bhagavan nama grinan Evam sa viplavita sarvadharma Dasya pati patito garya karmana Nipatyamano niraye hatta brata Sajo vimukto bhagavana magrinan Dharman Sapati patito garya karmana Patyamano niraye hatta brata Sajo vimukto bhagavana magrinan Matajis Evam in this way Saha he Ajamil Viplavita Sarvadharma who gave up all religious principles Dasya pati, the husband of a prostitute. Patita, fallen karya karmana, by being engaged in abominable activities. Nipatyamana, falling. Niraye, in hellish life. Hatabrata, who broke all his vows. Sadhya, immediately. Vimukta, liberated. Bhagavat Nama, the holy name of the Lord. Grinan, chanting. Translation. Ajamil was a Brahmin who because of bad association, had given up all Brahminical culture and religious principles. Becoming most fallen, he stole, drank, and performed other abominable acts. He even kept a prostitute. Thus he was destined to be carried away to hell by the order carriers of Yamaraj. But he was immediately rescued simply by a glimpse of the chanting of the holy name Narayan. No purport by Srila Prabhupada, so we'll read text 46. Naktak param karma nibandak krintanam mamukshatam tirtam parunu kirtanat nayat puna karmasu sajate mano rajastamovyam karelam tato nyata. Therefore, one who desires freedom from material bondage should adopt the process of chanting and glorifying the name, fame, form, and pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, at whose feet all the holy places stand. One cannot derive the proper benefit from other methods such as pious atonement, speculative knowledge, and meditation in mystic yoga, because even after following such methods, one takes the fruit of activities again. Unable to control his mind, which is contaminated by the base qualities of nature, namely passion and ignorance. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. It has actually been seen that even after achieving so-called perfection, many karmis, jnanis, and yogis become attached to material activities again. Many so-called swamis and yogis give up material activities as false, jagan mitya, but after some time, they nevertheless resume material activities by opening hospitals and schools or performing other activities for the benefit of the public. Sometimes they participate in politics, although still falsely declaring themselves sannyasis, members of the renounced order. The purport of conclusion, however, is that if one actually desires to get out of the material world, he must take to devotional service, which begins with Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu, chanting and hearing the glories of the Lord. The Krishna consciousness movement has actually proved this. In the Western countries, many young boys who were addicted to drugs and who had many other bad habits, which they could not give up, abandon all those propensities and very seriously engaged in chanting the glories of the Lord as soon as they joined the Krishna consciousness movement. In other words, this process is the perfect method of atonement for actions performed in rajas and tama, passion and ignorance, as stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.19, tara rajas tamo bhava kamala badayas chaye cheta eta anavidam stitam satve prasidati. As a result of raja and tama, one becomes increasingly lusty and greedy. But when one takes to the process of chanting and hearing, one comes to the platform of goodness and becomes happy. As soon as he advances in devotional service, all his doubts are completely eradicated. Vidyate hridaya granti chidyanti sarva samsaya. Thus the knot of his desire for fruitive activities is cut to pieces. Evam saviplavita sarvadharman dasya patita patito karya karmana nipatyamano niraya hatavrata sadyo vimukto bhagavan nama grinan. Ajamil, who was a Brahmin who, because of bad association, had given up all Brahminical culture and religious principles. Becoming most fallen, he stole, drank, and performed other abominable acts. He even kept a prostitute. Thus he was destined to be carried away to hell by the order carriers of Yamraj. But he was immediately rescued simply by a glimpse of the chanting of the holy name Narayan. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chaksur Unmiritam Jena Tasmai Sri Guruve Nama. I was born in the darkness of ignorance, and my spiritual master opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my respectful obeisances to his lotus feet. So herein, although Ajamil was a thief and he was a drunkard and he kept a prostitute, a glimpse, simply a glimpse of chanting the holy name of the Lord saved him from seeing hell. Even the Pandavas, they had to see hell. Prabhupada states that in the story of the Mahabharata, the Pandavas were told one time, Yudhisthira was told to tell a lie, and he had never told lie. The Dharma was not to lie, but for the sake of the war, he told some lie that the son of Drona, Asvatam, the elephant, is dead. So he wouldn't lie. They actually took the life of an elephant that was named Asvatam. But he hesitated when Krishna gave him the instruction to tell lie. Arjuna was told to hit Radheya, who was actually his eldest brother, he didn't know. And in the battle, he was told to hit him when he was off of the chariot, trying to get the wheel out of the mud. Krishna instructed him, shoot now. Unarmed and unchivalrous, Arjuna did it, but he hesitated because he knew it was unrighteous. And same thing with Bhima. He was fighting with Drona. They were fighting with clubs in a great battle. I'm sorry, with Duryodhana. I meant Duryodhana. He was fighting with Duryodhana with clubs. And Duryodhana had been blessed and cursed. The blessing was he was going to see his mother Gandhari. Gandhari was following a vow, such a chaste woman. Her husband was blind, the king, Dhritarashtra. So she vowed to keep her eyes covered throughout her life. And also not see because her husband didn't see. There are so many vows of chastity in old days. We don't have real chastity in these days. Even there was a sati rite. Prabhupada actually condemns the rite nowadays. In old days, the wife couldn't live without the husband when the husband would pass away. And they'd have the funeral pyre. She would walk into the funeral pyre after him. Even we have one example from years ago. Sesha Prabhu was here. And he had to leave. He was managing the BBT many, many, many years ago. 1988. And his father had passed away, a general in the army, United States Army. He went back to attend the funeral ceremony of his father and to console his grieving mother. And he came back to L.A. And within a week, isn't it? He had to go back again because his mother had passed away. And the doctors, when he approached the doctors, how did the mother die? And they said that there's something very amazing scientifically, that when the husband and wife, and one passes away, the husband had passed away, the wife had lost the will to live. And like the Sati rite, she also soon thereafter passed away, within a few days of the husband passing. She didn't take her life. She passed away because of separation from her beloved husband. So such was the chastity, of course, in days of yore. Of course, modern day, they were forcing the wife to go into the fire. And Srila Prabhupada condemned this kind of misunderstanding and illegal use of the sati rite. That was something of days of yore, when the wife was so chaste to the husband, and the husband was so chaste to the wife. So, because they hesitated, because the Pandavas, although they were associates of Lord Krishna, because they hesitated, they actually had to see hell, Prabhupada tells us. They actually went to hell. Not forever. Sometimes the Christian and the Judaic class of persons says that you go to hell forever. You're going to hell forever. You're going to burn in damnation for eternality. And there's no way out. There's no escape. But the Vaishnav, the Vedic version is, you may see hell. We have seen hell. As soon as we read the stories of Krimi Bhojana, Sukramukha, Kumbhipaka, I was like, oh yeah. Somewhere deep within the distant memory, I actually had a dream one time of being in one of those places. I'm not sure which one it was called, but it was very scary. So we've all been to hell. But hell is not eternal according to the Vedic version. Hell is also the material world, and we go there for rectification temporarily. Even we may be given some hellish circumstance. This material world's a little bit of heaven and a little bit of hell. And we may have some hellish situation due to the external circumstances, even in this life. Someone may be living in a very hellish condition. They say that hell, that you're bitten by all kinds of bugs there. Sometimes in this material world, we are also bitten by different types of bugs and tortured in different ways, like these hellish planets. So the Vedas say that yes, you may go to hell. The Pandavas went to hell for their hesitance. Sometimes we think, oh, well, we'll just go back to, I'm chanting Hare Krishna, so I'm going back to the spiritual world. The Pandavas had to go to hell. The Kauravas, they were in heaven, the heavenly planets, because they were good Kshatriyas and they performed their duty chivalrously. But the Pandavas, who were working under Krishna directly and who were associates of Lord Krishna, they hesitated. They followed Krishna's order. They didn't not follow his order. They followed Krishna's order. But they hesitated. And for that hesitation, They had to see hell. Therefore, in our Krishna consciousness movement, when the temple president, your authority, tells you to do something, we have a system and it's called Jai Prabhu. He who hesitates is lost. We don't hesitate. Because if the Pandavas hesitated and they went to hell, what is going to happen to us? Confirmed. Therefore, we have to be careful not to hesitate. The temple president says, you do this, my dear Prabhu, Jai Prabhu. And we do with no hesitation. Not that we're thinking, well, I'd actually like to do this. I think spreading Krishna consciousness would be much better if we just do this exercise and that exercise. And maybe the Sankirtan movement is too tough or too rigid. Or the Pandavas actually saw hell. Even in Ramlila, Dasarath, he was the father of Lord Ram. What a great Vaishnav, what a great devotee, what an empowered personality. But he performed in his life one terrible act when he was young. In his younger days, he had been given a boon. He had been taught the science that he could hear something from a distance. And when he went hunting, as Kshatriyas would do, he was a prince at the time, he could tell what it was by the sound, and with his eyes closed, he could shoot the bow and arrow at the object. So on one of these excursions, he heard by the water something that to him sounded like an elephant sucking up water, and he shot at what he had surmised was the elephant. But, unfortunately, it was a Brahmin, young Brahmin gentleman, young man, who was getting water for his blind parents. Saintly parents, father and mother, were blind, both. They couldn't go get water. And Dasarath, on a mistake, had shot this poor Brahmin. When he went back and informed the blind parents, when he saw what he had done, he was so repentant, and he knew he had committed a grave, sinful act, Brahmahatya. Brahmahatya, of course, we know, Yani kani cha papani, Brahmahatya dikani cha. Tani tani padaksyanti padakshina pade pade. Every bhakta knows that even if you commit Brahmahatya, all you have to do is worship Tulsi. Of course, that's not a license for anyone to go out and commit Brahmahatya. That is the most terrible sinful activity. But the idea is, just by worshiping Tulsi Devi, one can be forgiven from the greatest of all sins. So this Dasarath went to the blind parents when they realized what he was telling them. They prepared for their son's funeral and decided, like a sati rite, to go into the pyre, to the funeral, in the fire, I mean, along with their son, because they were old and blind. And they couldn't even get water on their own. They were blind. They were dependent on this elder son, their only son. And they entered into the fire when they cremated their son. But they cursed the blind father Brahman, cursed Dasarath, that you too, in your older days of life, will feel great separation from your eldest son, your son, and it will be the cause of your death. And of course, as we know in Ramayana, Kaikeyi had come to get her boon that she had received from saving the life of Dasarath. And late in life, when he was ready to give the coronation, the Yuvaraj, to the prince Ram and make him the king of Ayodhya, she came and took the boon and forced him to send his son Ram to the forest, to the Dandaka forest, for 14 years, dressed in tree bark and matted hair, eating only fruits and roots, and to make her son Bart the king. Of course, as the story goes, Bart was appalled, and he went to Ram and begged him to come back from the forest. When Ram wouldn't, he gave him his shoes. These shoes, Ram stepped in them for a few moments, and the shoes ruled Ayodhya. And Bart would manage, but he would go and talk to the shoes for advice, and the shoes were ruling the kingdom for all those years, even though Bart was managing. Just like in our ISKCON temples, the management is there, but everyone is going to the deity of Srila Prabhupada and the deity of Radha Krishna, Rukmini Dwarkadish, and telling them, today this was the collection, this was the expenditure. My dear Lord, please instruct us what to do. In the same way. But for one who even hesitates, hell is open for many, but hell isn't permanent in the Vaishnav, in the Vedic conception. One may have to see hell, but just like Ajamya here, even though he went to, they were prepared to take him, the Yamadutas, he was sinful man, prostitute hunter, prostitute keeper, drunkard, liar, cheater, pilfer, not a nice guy. But because he chanted the name of Narayan, because he engaged in Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu, maybe we've said before, I can't remember if it was here, I said it in Boston. We used to have a sign up, I think Savas saw it, in St. Louis. It was $1.50 for prasadam. But sometimes people couldn't afford the prasadam. So there was a sign in the case that said, if you want to eat and you can't afford it, you can engage in the process of Shravanam, Kirtanam, Sweepanam, Mapanam. Did I say that here before? Maybe. Practical devotional service. When we engage in Shravanam, Kirtanam, and practical devotional service, in the temple, without hesitation, we're in Vaikuntha. There's no question, will I go back to Godhead at the end of this life? One sannyasi approached Srila Prabhupada and said, Srila Prabhupada, there's many of us who don't want to go back to Godhead. We just want to engage in your devotional service and distribute your books life after life. You know that, Bhrigupati. And Prabhupada said, that is pure devotional service. That we're not even interested to go back to Godhead. We're interested to go wherever our spiritual master sends us, wherever our spiritual master is doing his service, just like Srila Prabhupada said about Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. He has gone to another place to do the same thing. Shravanam, Kirtanam, preaching Krishna consciousness. So for ourselves, akama sarvakama va moksha kama udaride. We may be full of sense gratification. We may be free from sense gratification. We may desire liberation. But real point is that we engage in devotional service. Devotional service is our reward. It's our activity. It's our reward. And at the end of this life, we get the opportunity for more devotional service. Even in this lifetime, those who are advancing in Krishna consciousness and engaging in devotional service, if you're doing very nicely, the reward is you get more devotional service. If you can clean the temple nicely, well, then you're certainly qualified to make garlands for the deities. And actually, you clean the temple so nice that you can now get an opportunity to clean the prasadam room and the restaurant, the kitchen, and we need some help in the deity room, Prabhu. So the reward is not liberation. The reward is bhakti, more devotional service. So much so that Srila Prabhupada, Krishna was giving him so much devotional service, we can't even imagine. Srila Prabhupada was performing so many activities. He had to have one place which was his place of worship, one place was the place of, what did Prabhupada say, that Vrindavan is his place of worship, Mayapur is his place of worship, Vrindavan is his home, and Mumbai is his office. Prabhupada had to have whole cities that were dedicated for his activities. Krishna gave him so much. So that is our opportunity, and at the end of this life, like Ajamya, we'll be given a chance to do more and more devotional service. We may go back to Godhead, we may not go back to Godhead. No one can judge. Oh, he was this. Oh, she was that. That's not our position. But we get an opportunity to take up where we left off and keep engaging in more devotional service. Any question or discussion? I think we have 2 minutes. Prabhuji. Daya karo.
Thank you for the wonderful class. Just one very minor and short comment. You had mentioned that the glory of devotional service, that when properly performed, though we gain as a gift or reward even more devotional service, and yes, there's no question about that. But another thing we gain is higher levels of responsibility of devotional service. In other words, we may not necessarily get more, but because of the purification which came from the original devotional service, it leads us to a broader understanding and sympathy and sensitivity to the necessities that are required in this higher level of responsibility. So we may be promoted to higher and have just as many, but still the responsibility having to do with so many more people now than what we had before is, of course, a stimulus and an aspiration that is further fulfilled, but even higher devotional service.
Absolutely. Prabhupada said all my disciples should become guru. So we all have a great responsibility to teach. That doesn't necessarily mean Diksha Guru. It could be Shiksha Guru. To teach hundreds and thousands and millions of people the science of Bhakti Yoga. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga.